And then you mentioned multiple times the need to clean up the penalties. Just how does that practically play out during the week? Is that just classic sprints and up downs, or is there another method to that madness?
All right, so I'll let you guys in. So I've tried all kinds of things. So today what we started was the Texas A&M Football Coaches Cabo Fund. And so what's going to happen now is every time one of our players gets a penalty, they're going to contribute to the Coaches Cabo Fund. And so we'll see if that works.
Front left, Mark.
Just one question.
You weren't expecting that one, Mark, were you?
No. That one's hard to follow.
That one caught you off guard a little.
Good morning, SEC. Oh, right. Come on in. Friday. College Football Eve is upon us. You're saying, Shane, what the hell? Why do you got apples behind you? Well, this is a friendly reminder to make those football deposits today. What does that mean? I have a significant other that's going to let me watch college football all day Saturday. So what do I do in return? I go to an Apple Festival. That's what I got planned today. So take time today to tell that love. She got a project sitting around that you've been putting off? Knock it out today. Because why? We got some college football to get into. That and much, much more on this episode of SEC Hangover. Come on in. Oh, before we get started, let's remind the cousins we are brought to you by MyBookie. And right now, if you use promo code SEC, you're going to get a risk-free bet. What does that mean? That means this weekend, if you place a bet and you use promo code SEC and your bet loses, you get your money back up to $500. And if it wins, you keep the money. And if it doesn't win, come on over to Tennessee Legend Distillery and see my family over here. I'm telling you, what a wild bunch these guys and girls are. If you come into the Sevierville locations, the Nashville locations, be sure to let them know the cousin sent you. Not only going to get a discount, but you will also get a gift. And I want to highlight today's Tennessee Legend goes to Big Orange Buzz, Legend Acquired. Sent me a photo. Boy, what is that there? That is the... Ooh, that looks dangerous. That looks absolutely dangerous. So, Big Orange Buzz, you are the Tennessee Legend this week. And if you do get Tennessee Legend sent to your store, if you stop off one of these fine locations, be sure to take a photo and send it to us. And maybe next week, you'll be the Tennessee Legend. Let's get into it. You see the show topic. We're talking upsets. Upsets are in the air, my friend. And I feel like who's... I've already... You watched the show yesterday. You guys know I picked one already. But I can't sit here and say that not more than one happens here. Vanderbilt being the underdog against Alabama. Mississippi State, the underdog in the blackout there at College Station. Texas favored in the swamp. Is this the time Billy and company decide to win a football game and keep his job? Kentucky and Georgia, they always play close. Hell, it was almost an upset last year, right? Kent State, I'll be upset that damn thing lasts to the second half. But well, let's get into it. Let's talk some upsets. First one we're going to bring up today is... Well, let's go ahead and knock that cupcake game out of the way, right? Oklahoma, tough matchup, right? No. The big news here is that they don't have their star quarterback, John Mateer. And I'll be honest with you, this isn't a game you even need a quarterback, I don't think. But we are going to get the debut of Mike Hawkins. We got to see him last year. Don't forget, man, this kid was absolutely electric. He was a fun quarterback to watch at times. I felt like he needed to grow up, and that's exactly what he's been able to do behind John Mateer. But this is a football team. When you're looking at Oklahoma, this is a It's a cupcake, right? But it's right before the Red River Shootout, and I feel like this is a game you got to get right. You know, this is a game that you got to clean up some of those stupid mistakes, because if Hawkins is the quarterback during this thing, we need him, right? And so I'm not expecting a vanilla offense here. I'm expecting the same offense I've seen the last 4 weeks, the same tenacious defense I've seen the last 4 weeks. This should be done by halftime. Get those starters out. Definitely should not be an upset, but could be an upset, right? I mean, well, they haven't done it in 15 years, but what if Kentucky pulls off the upset against Georgia? What does Coach Stoops need to do to pull off this upset, you ask? For me, it's explosive plays. How you like that little feature there? Worked all night for that one. But Coach Stoops was asked about it in the press conference. And listen, Linda, I'm going to tell you right now, I try not to pile on. I try not to pick on any coaches, and I'm not picking on Kentucky, but probably the most depressing press conference I heard this week was Coach Stoops. And they are asking questions like, well, how do you keep it so close against a team like Georgia? Is there an advantage to being down multiple scores? You know, I don't think there is an advantage. But one thing that Kentucky's going to absolutely have on both sides of the football, if they're going to pull off this miracle, is some explosive plays. Something they've not been able to do. And again, Coach Stoops was asked about that. But I want to lead in with the close one, because this is where we're at as a program in Lexington right now.
Kirby always has a lot of respect for you guys because you play them close. Is there something to that? Is it a style that is similar to them that you guys are able to play Georgia well?
I mean, we just try to be who we are. And, you know, and through the years, you know, we've always tried to be very tough and very physical and play the game the right way. And, you know, but they've been on certainly on the right side of the wins and losses. It's they have a great team. You know, they beat a lot of people. And, you know, they've had a great program for a long time.
Well, obviously nobody wants to play from behind, but what has to happen for the offense to get to a point when your diversity does strike, when you are down multiple scores, it doesn't feel so daunting to be able to get back?
Yeah, it is, you know, fair point, because, you know, we are methodical right now and not overly explosive, and, you know, therefore we have to, you know, play a game a certain way. And, you know, I think, you know, we just got to continue to get better, you know, in all areas. And, you know, whether it be, you know, coming up just a fraction short in protection, or, you know, a quarterback maybe missing a throw, or a receiver not coming up with a dynamic catch, you know, you put it all together and it's not a great recipe.
It is not, Coach. It is not a great recipe at all. I mean, at the end of the day, this is where we're at, right? I mean, you talk about a major upset. That's exactly what this would be. No one is expecting Kentucky to win, but, you know, nobody expected Kentucky to go on the road last year and whoop up on Ole Miss. I sure as hell didn't think it was going to be a ball game the last time these two teams met, but Coach Stoops does find a way to keep it close. So what does Kirby have to do to not let that happen? I think the biggest thing that I heard from players, from the coaches, from the media, is they all want to talk about last week, right? The rear view mirror. Talk about the highs with Tennessee, the lows with Alabama. I mean, maybe that's the recipe for Kentucky to actually be able to have the opportunity to pull off an upset. And Coach Kirby Smart was asked about, hey, how do you rein in the emotions of this football team?
Coach, I thought it was interesting that you brought up talking about how, like, the players are feeling the hurt. How do you go about making sure they don't get too high on the highs and low on the lows going from the Tennessee game to obviously this weekend?
It's called Kentucky. right? Like, we got to go play a really good football team. So I'm not concerned about. I'm glad that they were affected and hurt. There's a lot of college football teams right now. They got teams that don't. The kids don't care. Like, when people hurt, you usually get a better response, right? You get a better mechanism of like buy-in or like doubling down on something of like knowing who I am and knowing what I've got to work on. So that part excites me to get to work today.
Well, you can't have Georgia talk without the legend, the absolute legend, Cousin JR, coming through with the membership, gifting Jerry, welcome to the family. Oh, courtesy of Cousin JR. And yeah, I mean, it's easy for Kirby to say that, right? It's easy for Kirby to say, hey, let's just overlook it. I mean, the guy's been doing it for years. He's a professional, right? But these kids, it's a little bit different. And I think there's going to be a natural hangover in this football game. We've got a, I mean, how can you not go from Tennessee, big win, Neyland, upset loss at home nonetheless to Alabama, and just expect to rein it in? Are the fans going to be pumped up for this game? I don't think so. You know, so there may be one of these classic halftime 17-10 situations, but I think if you're looking at Kentucky like best odds here, like best chances to pull off an upset, I mean, you couldn't ask for a better recipe. It's not going to happen, though. I'm just saying, out of all the upsets, this one for me is the least likely to happen. Now, on the opposite end of that spectrum, which one is more likely to happen? And this one's an interesting one, especially if you're keeping an eye on Vegas. This line keeps getting closer and closer, and who knows, by kickoff, it may be a pick. And we got Texas and Florida. Now, there's a lot of footballs over there on the Texas side. We get that. And Florida Gators, if anybody's leading the parade for picking on Billy Napier, it's this guy. But I told you at the start of this week, I felt like this is one of those games that just doesn't feel right, right? I think if you're looking at paper, I mean, when you're looking at these top numbers, you say, hey, Texas should go in there. They should win by 4 or 5 scores and go home. And, you know, we crown them and talk about their college football playoff opportunities. And Arch Manning's Heisman, you know, campaign officially kicks back off. You know, that's what we think should happen. But, and honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if that is exactly what happens, if Texas goes down there and wins by multiple scores. But there's just something weird about this game, right? Billy Napier they had the week off. And I feel like when you're talking about pulling off an upset, it is clearly on the shoulders of this guy right here, which Florida fans are like, holy shit. But I'm just saying, and Billy was asked about it. And I think that it is naturally going to be filtered down to Arch Manning versus DJ Lagway. But for me, it's the coaching. Put DJ in a good spot. Put this team in a good spot. Create some explosive plays early. Create some momentum. Get the fans involved. It's going to be a nasty weather type day. But Billy says, hey, my boy's got a spark in his eye.
When you said Thursday, because last year, I think you referenced later in the season how that Thursday practice was like maybe one of the best you'd seen. Did you see something, any spark last week, maybe similar to a year ago that might ignite this thing?
Yeah, seeing a look in Tu's eye, I think that's important. You know, I think that's ultimately, you know, we're trying to do our best for him, you know, in terms of creating an environment where he can continue to get back in his rhythm. You know, that's the most important thing right now. So, and that includes not only his contribution, that's the staff's contribution. That's the players at each position that play around him. So I think it's, you know, a lot of people saying, hey, we just need a spark, right? Well, the challenge is how about everybody take ownership and be the spark, right? So I think that's been the approach.
Nice. Nice comment, Coach. And he talked about this. DJ's talked about this. He feels like the defense is about to pop. He feels like this team is about. I mean, we've been told this for multiple weeks. But what if this is the week? And you talk about a monumental, I mean, win. This would be massive if you can beat them Texas Longhorns. And I think it happens. I predicted 7-6. I'm not super confident in this game, but I do think that if Texas, if Arch Manning, I don't know why I keep saying Texas, if this man right here builds off the game that he had against Sam Houston, and again, I'm not saying Sam Houston is a tough matchup here, but let's not act like Arch didn't have some phenomenal throws in this game and some athletic plays in this game. I feel like this is ultimately going to be like, is he real or not? I mean, we've been speculating that Arch is not a good quarterback. I mean, outside of Austin, and if he can go down here in the swamp and pull off a big victory here, then yeah, I feel like we get back on that Arch Manning bandwagon. But the media, even down there, I'm going to play a clip here, and this is what the media's perspective is like, do we need to simplify the playbook? Do we need to make things easier for Arch Manning here? This is an interesting question, but I thought an interesting response as well.
Steve, I know you, in the past you've mentioned you like running a lot of different things from a variety of looks, but you got players who have responsibilities and they've got, you know, Calc 2 on Thursdays. So in order to make sure you run what you want to run, how much do you really kind of have to pare down your playbook, especially with a relatively inexperienced quarterback, compared to maybe not what you did at the NFL level, but when you have guys who have been in the system for so many years, how much do you kind of have to simplify over the course of a training camp and then a season to know what you're really good at, even if that means costing you the ability to run a lot of different things a lot of different ways?
I feel like you're trying to tell me to do that, but that's okay. I'll answer it. Okay. So anyway, what we actually try to do is implement schemes. And then as the season goes on, find multiple ways to continue to run the same schemes out of different personnel groupings, formations, motions, shifts, so on and so forth. We really don't make up new plays once the season starts going. We find more creative ways to run the same plays. And so when I talked about early in the week about laying a foundation, that's really what we did throughout training camp and through the first 4 weeks of the season. We had to make sure we laid that solid foundation for some of these guys that were new to our system or new to playing so that we could expand on that and find more creative ways to do the things that we are doing well. And that was the other part of the first four games, was to identify what do we do well, all right, and then how do we emphasize those things and get and continue to do more of that, but also what aren't we doing well that we know we're going to need to do, that was something we could work on in training camp because we know we're going to need it throughout this season. So to your point, yeah, I think you just don't show up in week one and you run all these, you know, a bunch of crazy plays and, you know, 19 different formations. It's more about, okay, we got to lay a solid foundation so that we can build upon it as the season goes.
Solid foundation. And to be honest with you, I felt like, even though it's Sam Houston, I felt like there was a little foundation being laid in that football game. More importantly, I felt like the team kind of bought back in to the hype that we created in the offseason. However, you take a bye week, right? You take some time off, you lose some of that. Does that affect you going on the road, first SEC matchup? I mean, they asked a lot of, like, folks were asking, is this a disadvantage basically playing these three cupcake teams and then, you know, coming into an SEC game? And, you know, he said he never really thought about it, but I mean, when you have Ohio State on the list, that's, I mean, seriously, where would Ohio State be if they're in the SEC? Damn toward the top, if not the top. So I feel like you got a quality win or a quality game under your belts. But yeah, this one just I don't know, man. I don't know about it. I have no. And the problem for me, the ultimate problem, is those last 4 weeks. I've got no temperature gauge on how good or bad this team. I keep trying to compare it to week one, and are we making progression? And I can't. Nobody can honestly say yes or no to that. I do know that this defense is crazy good, and maybe that's what keeps them in the ball game. But I feel like that's exactly what we're going to have here in the Swamp, is a ball game. But you know what? Who talk about legends? Come on, Tigers, joining the family. Tigers, welcome to the family. Also, Jason James up early this morning, gifted memberships. Thank you, cuz. This one's going to go to Rodrigo. Rodrigo, welcome to the family, courtesy of my man, Jason James. Oh, man, cousins are fired up. We got, Shane, I can't believe you're even talking about Texas losing to Florida. What's that happen? If that ultimately happens, because I think this is going to come down to the coaches, Steve simplifying the playbook, not so much. But making it easier for Arch, possibly yes. And same thing with Billy. I feel like it's important that the Florida Gators do exactly what they need. That, like, they're playing with house money right now. That makes them the most dangerous football team in the Southeastern Conference, because this is a dead man walking. Billy Napier is out, right? He's going to get fired. He loses this game, he's fired. He wins this game, he's still probably fired. There is nothing this man, you can tell this man, that's going to make him worry anymore. So I feel like that's what makes the Florida Gators so dangerous right now, because if they win, it's an upset. If they win Texas, we will be talking about them for 2 weeks as frauds. And I feel like that's kind of where we're at. Somebody asked earlier, are you watching any games? This is it. Mississippi State, Texas A&M. Me and Mike are going to be on. We're going to be watching this game. I feel like this one is also going to be entertaining. You got two of the most dangerous, explosive running backs in the business. Got to see it firsthand last week. Devon Booth and Bothwell. And these guys, Fluff is absolutely killing it right now as far as stats. These guys are combined 600 yards, 10 touchdowns. And I feel like if they are going to pull off the upset against Texas A&M, they got to go down here and they got to play their game. And I felt like that's what they were doing, especially against Tennessee last week in the first half. But it got away from them, right? I felt like the halftime adjustments, we didn't have them. And Coach Elko was asked about this rushing attack, and he's well aware how good these boys are. So
Bothwell and Booth, their running backs last weekend combined for like 40 carries for almost 200 yards. When you see that, does it kind of remind you of Notre Dame of facing a couple of running backs that are really talented, but then you got a quarterback that can move around and throw it as well?
Yeah, I just think systematically it's a lot different. And so, yes, from a standpoint of talented, yeah, for sure. They're an extremely talented backfield. We saw that firsthand with Booth last year. He had a really good day against us last year. We didn't see the quarterback. I thought they were a more efficient offense when he was playing quarterback last year. They're certainly a more efficient offense with him at quarterback this year. It's just a different style of offense. And so the plays come at you a little bit differently. And so I don't know that you draw that comparison to Notre Dame. You're featuring a really talented group.
Govals 98 says it best. A cornered rattlesnake is always dangerous. Florida's defense has been elite this year, and nasty weather potentially is a great recipe for an upset. Absolutely. And I know Texas A&M fans, they're sitting there on cloud freaking nine. This is our year, right? We're not going 8-4. Don't even talk about it. But listen, these are the games that you usually lose. Elko was asked a question, and I think they called it Aggie syndrome, which I completely understand. As a Vol fan, we've got battered Vol syndrome. But, you know, he was asked about this, and the team, plenty of players on this football team have dealt with close losses, have dealt with upsets. You know, this is a team that a game like Mississippi State, a game like Florida next week. These are the ones that you slip up on, right? You're 4-0. Nothing could go wrong until it does. So you got to be really careful. And that's why I think ultimately the only reason Texas A&M loses this game is because of Texas A&M, right? And Coach talks about the improvement on the – how do you do it? Okay, I just told you we got to stop the running backs. Okay, how do you do that? Elko is addressing it here. The running game, we are starting to shut down.
Yeah, Mike, I'm going to be like Mark Passwaters and ask you a couple of questions. If you don't mind.
Hey, why don't we just make this the OB press conference?
You know, I was looking it up, and I think it's pretty obvious, but since the – I guess first play of the second half against UTSA in the opener, you guys have, I think, given up like 2.5 yards a carry. The run defense has been so well. Without asking for state secrets, you know, can you reveal what the reason why y'all have gotten so much better in run defense?
Yeah, I think so. This is what I think happens. I think, you know, the standard reaction to poor rush defense is always the D-line isn't good enough, and sometimes that's the case, but for us that hasn't been. Like, we are firm, we are strong against the run, we hold the point well. What we've had troubles with really since I've been here has been leveraging the football, and that has presented itself in a lot of different ways, whether that's perimeter run game, cracks on the perimeter, getting the ball outside. Sometimes it's our defensive edges, not our defensive line edges, not holding the edge properly. We have gotten beat to the perimeter more than like probably at any point in my career as a defensive coordinator over these 15 months. It has been a constant conversation, emphasis, drill work, everything we can to fix it. I think over the last however many games, we've done a little better job at that. It still reared up a little bit in the Notre Dame game, although I don't think it was quite as bad as it was a year ago against Notre Dame and allowing the breakout runs down the sideline. But if we can keep the ball inside of us, we have a shot. And I think when we do that, the run averages are what they should be. When we don't, we tend to give up the 16s, the 18s, the 40s, the 50s, and then all of a sudden you're giving up 6.5 a carry, and it looks like you have a poor run defense. That's really been the story since I got back. And, again, there's a lot of things we're doing to try to fix it. At the end of the day, it's got to show up on the field. It did Saturday. Hopefully it continues to do so.
And that's I think that's ultimately what it comes down to, stopping Mississippi State's running. And then more importantly for Mississippi State is the belief, because yeah, they lost last week, but Levy was asked about this. He said, basically, and I'm paraphrasing, the boys knew we should have won that game. And I feel like when you know that you should have won a game against a college football playoff team, I mean, that all that work that you put in the offseason, all that work you've put in practice, even this week, you know, it's like the belief makes sense. You know, that old cliche, trust the process. Well, the process almost got you a big win, and almost doesn't help, right? You're looking for an SEC win here, but that's the belief that you're bringing down there in the College Station. So you got to be careful. If you're an Aggie fan, you're thinking, hey, we're, what, 16 points? This is one that just keeps moving and moving. If you come in thinking that you're just going to win the football game, I got another thing to tell you here, man. This is going to be the game of the week, in my opinion, and that's why me and Mike will be on to watch it. So if you ain't got nobody to watch it with, jump on the YouTube and watch it with us. Now, the game of the week, right? Can't believe it. I mean, we're sitting here and we're talking about Vanderbilt and Alabama game day. Get the hell out of here. Well, part of the reason this is not only is Vanderbilt playing out of their damn minds, but the chirping in the offseason. Let's not forget what Ryan Williams told John Gruden.
What the hell happened to you guys against Vanderbilt?
Man, they played a better football game than us this game. We came out slow. And they capitalized. They held the ball. They had their game plan, and they executed.
What do you say to your team when you got Vanderbilt this year coming into Tuscaloosa?
Man, going into this game, it's you know, we don't call them revenge games. So we gonna kill an ant with a sledgehammer this year. So I mean, just every game that we you know fell short last year, we definitely got red eyes going into them.
Oh, we go kill them. We go to kill them. Oh my goodness! And that's exactly what Bama needs to do, right? If Bama is not going to allow an upset, it's got to be because of this defense. My gosh. Not only did they play a fantastic game here the last few weeks, but this is one that they really got to clamp down on. And this was a team, this especially that defensive side, that really kind of got a black eye last year as they had a breakdown losing against Vanderbilt. And obviously, Diego Pavia is going to be the only reason that Vanderbilt can pull off another upset. This guy is the X factor. This is a Heisman. Somebody asked me who's a Heisman candidate. This man. They're undefeated right now, and it's all because of Diego Pavia. This is a better football team, but one of my favorite comments that come out of this one, Pavia was asked, "The crowd is going to be a big factor in the game, but we just have to play within the white lines. If we do that, if we play our game, it won't be close." I don't think it'll be close either. This is my prospect. This is my pick of the week, the lock. Them elephants squashing them ants with the sledgehammer. Come on now. I did like these comments from Deontay Lawson, and this is something he talks about. Hey, Diego's playing great, but we got to play our game.
How important is that for a game like this week going against a quarterback like Diego Pavia?
Yeah, super important. You know, Pavia is definitely a playmaker, and we got to make sure we leverage across the field. We got to create a fence across the field so everyone's gap sound, and, you know, we can limit him and limit their explosive plays.
Does it happen? Does Bama lose 2 years in a row? If they do, Mike thinks Kalen DeBoer is a dead man walking. I don't think it happens. I think, you know, the chirping, you know, Diego talk, you've created a bullseye, which I absolutely love. Don't get me wrong. But there's no way in hell Alabama's overlooking this Vanderbilt football team this year. So, hey, it's Friday. You say, hey, Shane, what are these apples for? I'm going to an apple festival thing, right? Sure, there's going to be a lot of cinnamon. Probably need to bring my EpiPen because I am allergic. But, you know, these are the Friday deposits I'm talking about, you know, because we're going to be watching football all day Saturday. So you get those deposits in. And did you think we'd get off this channel without showing one Tennessee clip? I don't think. Not so fast, my friend. We all remember that scoop and score, and I just thought this was hilarious. Joshua Joseph's comments. Well, this oh shit moment is I'm 3 minutes past time. Gotta get out of here. I hope you guys have a wonderful Friday. We're 33 minutes closer to kickoff. And don't forget, if you need any bail money, give me a call. And if you stay out of trouble, I'll see you Saturday. We're going to watch a little college football together. All right, y'all have a good one. See you guys. Go Vol.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.